Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This week, our tidbit is taken from the Torah portion called Ekev, which is translated here as the word because, but in other translations, it's rendered as the word reward, sometimes result. The reward comes as a result of Israel's obedience to God's commands. The reward is that they are going to be blessed. The portion begins by saying in Deuteronomy 7, verse 12, "Then it shall come to pass, because," and that word is ekev, "because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers." And then it says, "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you." And we see that throughout this particular Torah portion, and it could be said for others as well, but in this portion, Moses continually encouraged the people to obey God's commandments, and he encouraged them to safeguard them and safeguard all that God had entrusted to them. As a result, Ekev, as I just read, if they would be obedient, then God in turn would love them, he would bless them, and he would multiply them. Now, the word ekev, besides being translated as reward or result or because, there are other verses where this word is translated as heel, H-E-E-L, as in the heel on your foot. That in turn hints at another rendering of this very same word, and that is end, E-N-D, because this word is to denote something that starts out small, seemingly insignificant, or the end of a matter. But as we know, nothing in God's purposes should ever be considered as insignificant. It could, in some instances, it might seem insignificant when you compare it to things that are considered to be greater. Or let's use this word, head, which in Hebrew is the word rosh. The head speaks of maturing and producing fruit. And interestingly, ekev is the root of the name Jacob, or Yaakov. However, we know that he was not destined to remain Jacob, but he was to become Yisrael, which represents the maturing of what started out as Jacob. Another interesting point to consider here is that within the word Yisrael is a permutation of the word rosh, or head. And so the life of Jacob, or Israel, demonstrates the maturing process of every believer from start to finish, or from heel to head. Now, speaking of Israel, Moses said this, "And the Lord will make you the head," and that word is rosh. "He will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." Now, in my view, there are perhaps two ways to look at this particular verse, and that is, number one, God's intention is that we are not to be subject to the other nations. We are not to be lorded over by those nations, but we are to be an example to those nations of what they could be if they were to also follow the commandments of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Secondly, it says to me that God does not intend for us to remain stagnant. He does not intend for us to remain immature as believers. You see, as we continue to grow in obedience, we're going to mature, and ultimately, we're going to bear the fruit that He has ordained that we produce. And so, the beneficial consequences of fearing Him, loving Him, and keeping His commandments is that we are to be the head. We're not to remain the tail. If we're faithful in this endeavor, as a people, we will be blessed above all peoples. And so in this Torah portion, we see that. But we also see that in order to reach this goal, we have to maintain integrity in the face of idolatry, and we have to learn discipline and employ self-control. Specifically, Moses told Israel that when dispelling the nations from the land of Canaan, they were not to take pity on them and they were not to look to their gods. In fact, he warned that their gods would become a snare to them, and that Hebrew term is mochesh, implying that their gods and what those gods represented might appear to be attractive, but in the end, it would bring death to God's people. So the psalmist reiterates the same concept when he said this in Psalm 18. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares, the mochesh of death confronted me. And so what we see here is that this follows perfectly with the methodology of the adversary. He always presents what appears to be good while hiding its destructive nature. I mean, consider that these gods that they were warned not to look upon were often overlaid with gold, with silver, and other precious ornaments. And so they looked beautiful. And that's how they were a snare. Maybe I'll use the word noose, which often catches its prey by its heel. So this underscores, in my view, the need for us to grow, to mature, to not remain the small and insignificant heel, but to grow and become the head. Now also, when facing their enemies, Moses made it very clear to Israel that they were not to fear them. He said this in Deuteronomy 7, beginning at verse 17. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. But, to the contrary, you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and what he did to all of Egypt. And so as they faced these nations, they were to remember that the God of Israel brought down Pharaoh and he brought down Egypt by supernatural means while Israel was still enslaved. They were incapable of fighting for themselves. They were still the heel, so to speak. Likewise, he was going to fight for them against the inhabitants of the land, and they were not to fear giants. They were not to fear cities, but were to depend upon God and to fear him, not man. That's how we become the head. Now, Yeshua echoed this principle when he said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, even though this is not in the Bible, there is something very interesting that is written in the Talmud that I thought I would share with you, and it says this, everything is in the hands of heaven other than the fear of heaven. I found that very interesting because it means that God isn't necessarily going to make someone fear him. It hints that a person has to develop that quality within themselves. They have to grow into that. Because if we fear him more than we fear others, I believe it says that we're going to be provoked to keep his commandments. We're not going to be led astray by the gods of the land. Or as the psalmist put it in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. And that word there is reshit. It is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Now, I mentioned that word beginning is the word reshit. And the root of that particular word is rosh, or head. And so that is the result which follows keeping his commandments. We become the head, which is equivalent to the blessing and the life that is the reward, the ekev, of being faithful. And keep this in mind, whatever resides in the head is going to eventually affect the entire being, from head to toe, or from head to heel. Now, working hand in glove with the fear of God is genuine humility. Solomon said this in Proverbs 22. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So now to underscore this particular point, I want to make note of the fact that one of the meekest men who ever lived, Moses, is the one that God gave understanding of his instructions to. Moses is the one who taught the people what all these things meant. But Moses was humble. He was meek. And so then, where you and I are concerned, to the degree that we humble ourselves, and then to the degree that we fear God, will most definitely affect how we think, and it will most definitely affect how committed we are to walk according to God's ways. Let's put it this way. If we abase ourselves, then we position ourselves to be exalted, to become the head. You see, whether we are the head or the tail is not relegated to a flip of the coin. It's not a game of chance. But whether we are the head or the tail is a conscious decision on our part, whether or not we're going to walk humbly before Him, whether or not we're going to fear Him, whether or not we're going to be obedient and faithful to Him. You see, how we view Him and how we view ourselves in relation to Him is going to determine whether we remain the tail or whether we mature and become the head. All of that comes as a result, ekev, of keeping His instructions. And with that, we come to the close of this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.